Hi everyone. Hello friends. Welcome to Quantum Recovery. I'm your host, Andia. Today we're going to be talking about circadian rhythm, but before we jump into that, did you do your homework? Have you noticed the light environment? Have you noticed the bluer lights in our environment? So that was homework from last lesson. Just to be aware of the environment, because today we're going to talk about circadian rhythm. And it has everything to do with our environment and the signals that we're taking in. So circadian rhythm is really a part of chronobiology. And chronobiology is just a science of natural rhythms. And there's three basic cycles. Infradian rhythm is actually anything that's over 24 hours. So examples of this would be like our menstrual cycles, seasons, bird migration, things like that. And then there is circadian rhythm. And this, we're talking about our 24-hour cycle. Now, I used to think circadian, immediately my brain would go to anything about sleep, anything about jet lag. I didn't really think of it as a 24-hour period. I just, I knew it was a cycle, but I didn't think of it as that important. I just knew it got a little jogged when we would have a time change or I would fly to a different time zone. That's the only time I thought it came into play and that it was something to think about. Well, boy, was I wrong. It has a huge impact on our health. So the third one that's not talked about a lot is the ultradian rhythm. So an ultradian rhythm is anything that is a little shorter than a 24-hour period. So this is like our digestion, things that our blood circulation, things like that. So the most common things we're talking about when we're talking about the cycles is really the infradian, which is, seasonally, because seasons are important. And we'll talk a lot about that when it comes to like seasonality of, and locality of the food that we eat, things like that for future episodes. But for the most part, we're always kind of referring to circadian rhythm. And think about this in relation to our active use. I don't know about you all, but I used to definitely work third shift jobs when I was in my active use. So not only was, I mean, just let me back up. Don't even think about the third shift job for a second. Just think about your sleep-wake cycle. I just basically had a wake cycle because my drug of choice was methamphetamines. So half the time I wasn't even sleeping. So I definitely wasn't paying attention to signaling. I was keeping myself inside, indoors, dark environment, wasn't outside a lot. That was my world. Now, it doesn't really matter what your drug of choice was or your drug of no choice was. Doesn't really matter. I just want you to think about, I'm just using myself as an example. I want you to think about the where you were and just like in relation to the day. Okay, so like were you going to bed at the same time every night and waking up the same time every morning? It's doubtful. So I want you to think about the way we kind of really mess up our circadian rhythm when we are in our active addiction. And many of us are in our active addiction for decades, right? So this it really wreaks havoc on our system. And the system I'm talking about is, of course, our human, but also at the subcellular level. So I'm going to be doing a whole talk on mitochondria in the future, but I'm going to refer to that in a little bit here. And mitochondria are little tiny organelles that are inside of our cells. So if we think about that in our, science class, there's the photo of the human, and then you see the photo of all the organ system. And then our organ system is made up of organs, and our organs are made of out of tissue, and tissue are made out of cells. And inside every single cell, there's little tiny organs of their own. And those are called organelles. And there's a very important organelle called the mitochondria that has everything to do with our energy, and it senses our environment. So we're looking at things at a subatomic level and at the mitochondrial level. We're talking about mitochondrial health here. And today's topic is circadian rhythm. And so the main signal we get from our environment, one of the big ones, is our light environment. Now, 90% of people are living their life indoors now. 90%. That's 90% of our time indoors. That's a lot of time. Some of us even more than that. So think about how often you're getting, natural light, a full spectrum of light. We need that signaling, that correct signaling at certain times of day, because that tells our body what time it is. And there's actually a little tiny clock called the suprachiasmatic nucleus, the SCN for short. That is our master clock. This master clock is the primary control center for our circadian rhythm and our infradian rhythm and all the things. And it sits on the anterior of the hypothalamus in our brain. Now, that's kind of, pretty close to Grand Central Station back there for addiction pathway. Okay. So I'll go over addiction pathway just for a little refresher, or for those of you who don't know it, in a second here. But that hypothalamus, it's part of the mesolimbic pathway. And so that has everything to do with, arousal, food intake, sex drive, reward. And every single gene in our body actually has a little tiny clock gene. So, and it's controlled by the suprachiasmatic nucleus. Now, that's sitting in the back of our eye, basically. That's where it's at. And so, when the light signal comes in, it's really important we remember not to be covering up our eyes, because those times that we do get natural light and we're outside, even if it's walking to the mailbox, take that opportunity, flip those glasses up. No, like I used to wear contacts all the time, and now honestly, I don't, because they would be such a nuisance for me to be going outside and taking my light breaks. I'd be constantly having to take them off, not to mention, it blocks oxygen from getting into the eye. But any which way, all that to say, also no sunglasses. It's very important that we let those natural signals in. And there is an order of operations to the light environment, right? We want to get sunrise. We want to get UVA light, which is the time that falls after sunrise. And we're going to go all over this in details in the future. But all this to say, that's the signaling I'm talking about. The signaling, it's very important for the first signal of our morning to not be a blue light on our phone. So blue light toxicity, we touched on that last time, or concentrated blue light or artificial blue light, that is not the best. Just seeing my, I haven't gotten, so my microphone changes color and I haven't got it to stay one color yet, but I'll figure it out one of these days. But any which way, the artificial blue light is something that we, during the daytime, like right now is midday. The blue light spectrum is outside. So it's not a big deal to be having blue light in your environment, because it's happening in nature. So we want to always go back to Mother Nature's rules. When's Mother Nature having that light? And the most blue light is anywhere from 11 a.m. to about 2 p.m. That's going to be your the brightest blue coming out of the spectrum during the day, but it's really only a 2%. But we always have that other full spectrum of light, the light we can't see. The rainbow is always there. We just can't see it. And even past the rainbow, that near infrared light is always in our environment. And it really, that is one of the healing parts of the spectrum that we want to get. And it's very, very important that we get enough of it. In fact, it's so poor. I'm going to go over, what are the things that can go wrong when our circadian rhythm is off track. And the list is pretty big. And so we are definitely interested in getting our circadian rhythms on track, especially when we are in recovery. So our eyes have, so going back to the SCN, so our eyes and our skin have photoreceptors on it, but that melanopsin is in our eye to actually absorb that light. And everything in our environment is a signal. Everything is information. And the SCN is signaled by light water, earth, and food. So it controls, the speed of our metabolism, sleep, recycling of our mitochondria through melatonin, fertility through our hormones like testosterone and estrogen, and the clock genes. Timing is everything. It is everything. If it's out of sync, the regulatory glands and things can't talk to the cells accurately, and that causes our tissues to misbehave. And then that causes our organs just to disobey, and the instructions get all out of whack, and that causes inflammation. And that is what leads to disease and dysfunction. Chaos, disease, dysfunction, inflammation all means the same thing. So what goes wrong with our circadian rhythm? Like, what goes wrong in our body? A lot of things. We are prone to neurotransmitter imbalance. What do we want when we are in recovery? We definitely want to be sensitized to our neurotransmitters. We want to be especially sensitized to dopamine again. And that is something that we need to pay attention to the signals for if it's something that we want to get back on track. Hormonal imbalances it can lead to anxiety, depression, mood disorders, insomnia, metabolic dysfunction. I know for me, I was leptin resistant, and that caused a lot of issues for me. I had a lot of gut issues. It can lead to leaky gut. These are just, I'm thinking of some of the things that I personally healed. The inability to lose weight, it can lead to obesity. It can lead to diabetes. Seasonal affective disorder, of course, is a circadian imbalance. Fertility issues, loss of libido, that happened to me as well. It can increase pain if that's an issue. Can lead to even autoimmune and cancer. The disorders here, they go on and on. You can go into PubMed. In fact, I just did. For if you just put addiction and circadian, you're going to get over 500 studies. You're going to find a lot of information about this. It's something we definitely want to look at. Now, when it's in balance, our circadian rhythm, we have wonderful sleep. In fact, when I think I was like day two into wearing my just blocking blue light at night and in the morning, and I was sleeping so much better than I was. And I'm in long-term recovery. Like, this happened for me at like year maybe 13 or 14. I started having like the best sleep of my life, and it was because I started paying attention to my circadian rhythm. And I hadn't for forever. I haven't. We get in a better mood. Our hormones are balanced. Our neurotransmitters are balanced. It just does wonders for our mental health. Wonders. And also think about post-acute withdrawal syndrome. So that first 2 years of recovery, if you're in the first 2 years of recovery, you have post-acute withdrawal syndrome. So those are all the symptoms that we experience, biopsychosocial symptoms we experience in early recovery. So these are more emotionally based than they are physical. When we're in acute withdrawal, like, the first day or two after we stop using, those are more physical withdrawal symptoms. Post-acute withdrawal symptoms are really, they're abstinent-based symptoms. We have to go through those motions. I just listed a bunch of things that happen if our circadian rhythm is not balanced. Those are some of the same symptoms as post-acute withdrawal. That is a huge issue when it comes to people in early recovery. Because if you're having these things anyways, and then your circadian rhythm is off track, you have like a double whammy going on there. We want to be healing from this stuff. So you are doing yourself a service if you are paying attention to your light environment, especially. We'll get into other signaling in the future, but we're just talking mainly right now. We're still talking about light, those energy levels. So one of the biggest pause symptoms, especially in my clinical practice anyways, sleep and energy issues were always such a huge, like, people were always rating those at a 10. And when we don't sleep well, a lot of things aren't happening. None of the cleanup at night is happening. So the apoptosis and autophagy is not happening. That's our cell cleanup when we're sleeping. And our melatonin is just not, it's not being released at the right time because our light environment is off. So we have to think about these things. And excuse me, it's not difficult. So right now, or it's like now I'm kind of like delivering like all this news, but to address these things and to fix them is are you know going to be so needle moving for our health. Our health is going to compound when we start to do some of these little things that you know we can get our circadian rhythm back on track very easily. But basically, you know, we all have there's also a genetic predisposition that we have when it comes to disease, and our environment pulls the trigger on that. So our environment right now, like if you're scrolling your phone right when you wake up in the morning, or if you're scrolling it into the middle of the night, that is actually, you know, something that puts us prone to addiction. So if a substance use addiction hasn't manifested yet, but that's how you're using your phone at the wrong times of day, and you're getting that signaling at the wrong times of day, it can put you prone to addiction, if especially if you have that gene. And so that is, you know, very concerning when we think about our youth. Now, another thing that will when it's in balance, we have a better immune system. And remember, everything's connected. So when we have our circadian rhythm on track, we are really putting a lot of things in order in our body because everything is connected. And you know, when I was talking about like the brain and the hypothalamus and all of that, you know, that Grand Central Station area where addiction is happening and addiction pathways are happening in our brain, it is all related to the same things, that arousal, the food intake, the sex drive, reward, that all has to do with that mesolimbic pathway. And when we're talking about the addiction pathway, so when we talk about any disease, we talk about the organ, the defect, and the symptoms. So for addiction, where organ is the brain, defect is the breakdown in the of the communication between the nucleus accumbens and the left orbital frontal lobe. So basically, think of your nucleus accumbens as the go button, and the left orbital frontal lobe is the stop button. And for those of us who have the disease of addiction, our stop button is broken. These levers aren't working right. So the symptoms that manifest are using chemicals, substances, despite our consequences, we just keep using them. And if anyone's listening to this too, who doesn't have the disease of addiction, but you're touched by this disease in some way, like maybe a family member has it, and you've watched people spiral down, and you've wondered, why can't this person just stop? They are at death's door, basically. Why can't they stop? They can't stop because they literally have a brain disease, and they're trying to fight a brain disease with their brain. This is a very deadly disease, and people will continue using despite the consequences. They lose control. There's also tolerance, withdrawal, and cravings that are some of the symptoms of active addiction as well. So when we're talking about just the addiction pathway in general, and then getting the right signal into our suprachiasmatic nucleus, and it being so close to the hypothalamus and the other sections of the brain, what I'm referring to as Grand Central Station, all those things are connected. So think about getting your circadian rhythm on track now that you're in recovery. Just think of the thriving recovery you will have once your light environment is right. So I want to focus on that today. Healing the circadian rhythm, getting the right light signaling, getting the right light signaling. So when we're talking about the right light signaling, I touched on it a little bit, but we're going to go, I'm going to go into detail about this in a whole episode. But next time I'm going to talk about light. And then I'm also going to talk about getting the right light signals at the right times. But for right now, all I want you to play with is thinking about that artificial blue light at the wrong times of day. So basically, it's pretty simple. If it's dark outside, we need to honor that it's dark out. We need to honor also the light. So when it's light out, there's a certain things that we want to think about. Getting outside when the sunrise is happening. There's so many hormonal cascades and neurotransmitter pathways that are getting set off with that light signal. And it's free. And guess what? It's happening even if you can't see the sun rising. So I used to think, oh, I have to go find the sunrise. No, you do not need to go find exactly where the sun is rising. If you have the luxury of seeing the sunrise because it's like maybe in your front yard or backyard, that's great. But I, for those of us that don't have that view, going outside when it's light, that's in the atmosphere. It's happening. So going outside. And I'd also add the tip, don't just stand outside and do nothing. I did that at the beginning and I found it really hard to get the right amount of time out there. So you really, like, at minimum, you need like maybe 2 to 5 minutes. But with a therapeutic dose, which is what we're talking about, because we really want to heal and get our circadian rhythm back on track, spending a half hour to an hour outside in the morning is going to be key. So think about some chores that you could do outside when you're out there. Think about things that you could be getting done. If you can, do it barefoot even. But, you know, I bring my meditation and my journaling, my reading, anything I'm doing in my morning routine, it changes seasonally, but anything I'm doing, I will bring it outside so I can soak up that natural, beautiful, full spectrum light to get the right light signaling going. And then we need to take a break, a UVA break. So that is the light that is present after sunrise. So we're talking, depending on the season, roughly 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. is when that UVA rise. It's when the sun is 10 degrees above the horizon. And I know, I thought the same thing, y'all. I did. I know what you're thinking right now. Andia, how the heck am I supposed to know when the sun is 10 degrees above the horizon? There is a great app called the Circadian app or Circadian Life app, and it will tell you at what time, depending on your location, when UVA light is. Like today, for me, UVA was at 10 a.m. Okay. So it's going to depend on where you live and what season it's in, but that app will let you know. But then take a light break. Make sure you don't have anything covering your eyes. Nothing covering your eyes as far as glasses, sunglasses, or contacts, or even a hat. Like keep your eyes exposed and, you know, don't stare at the sun, but just being outside. That's getting your light break, just being outside in that light. And then UVB is going to be that afternoon light. And, you know, this is also how we build our natural solar callus. Our natural, you know, being tan is actually healthy. It's a sign of health. And when we build that up, we're building up what we call our solar callus, and that's our built-in sunscreen. So there's a certain amount of time we should be out in UVB light. And there's an amazing app called the D-Minder app. And that app is, and I'll put these two links in the show notes for you all. That app is great to let you know what the UV index is, when it's out, how many hours you have before you miss it, or before, you know, sun starts to set. And then when sun is going to set, it's nice for us to get outside again because that is when that red light is at its height. So that beautiful, we have free red light therapy going on outside, people, all throughout the day. It's out there, but it's really present intensely in sunrise and sunset. So those are some great times to be outside. And then when we come inside and it's dark out, we have to be mindful of our screen time because the screens on our phone are very, very bright and they're very, very blue. And that is going to keep us stimulated and it's not going to allow melatonin to kick in. This is very important. I didn't talk about cortisol, but cortisol is something that rises in the morning and you don't want high cortisol at night, but it's going to be high and you're not going to be able to sleep. So you ever hear the term wired and tired at the same time? You're laying in bed at night and you're having a difficult time sleeping, that's probably because your cortisol is imbalanced. Melatonin didn't kick in. So none of those repair processes are happening. Okay. So that's your homework. to think about your light environment and just thinking about blocking the blue light in the morning before sunrise and in the evening after sunset. I will also put a link to a video that you can change your screen on your phone to be red. You can do this in your settings on your phone. It's not something that the video explains it. It's just you change some settings in your phone so you have the opportunity to just click your phone three times on the side and a little pop-up window will come at the bottom of your phone and you'll be able to turn your phone red in an instant, which is really great because then your phone can stay red when it's dark outside and when when sunrise happens, you can turn your phone on like normal. Because I'm not saying that you need to watch your screen time and not use your phone after dark, especially in the winter. It gets dark pretty early and most of us aren't going to bed quite yet. So you may need to be on your phone for work or what have you. Totally fine. We just want to take that blue light down. So I will give you links to these things. I hope they are helpful resources for you. But that's all I'm going to say for today. I hope that you enjoy this. The next time I will be doing a video, I will be in a different environment. So I will be traveling a little bit, but I'll still be posting for you all. And we're going to talk more in depth about blue light and just artificial light in general next time. And I hope this was helpful for you. Bye, everyone. Drink water, call your peers. See you next time.